Filmmaker Terry Zwigoff surprised critics and audiences in 1994 with his documentary about comic book artist Robert Crumb. Now Zwigoff has made his mainstream debut with a feature film inspired by a comic strip. It tells the story of two teenage misfits. David Darcy reports that the movie presents an alternative to Hollywood's images of teenagers.
Nobody expected Terry Zwigoff's documentary about the misanthropic comic book artist Robert Crumb to make money, but when it did, Zwigoff started getting scripts for commercial features even though he'd never made one. But he could tell a bad feature script when he read one, and he quickly learned that there wasn't much out there.
You know, I'd get these screenplays and you can just tell by the characters' names, you know. There's some crazy screenplay name, you know. You never see people like that in real life with names like Durango or Phoenix. They sound like, you know, names of cities or something. And, you know, the hero's always like a brain surgeon and a kayaker, you know. It's like ridiculous, contrived nonsense, most of them. I'm sure they're good scripts. I wasn't getting them, though.
Zwigoff had to come up with his own. Thanks to his wife, who works for a comic book publisher in the San Francisco Bay Area where they live, he'd become a fan of the comic strip Ghost World. He found a cynical soulmate in its creator, Daniel Clowes, who lives in Oakland, and the two began collaborating on a screenplay based on the strip about a pair of high school misfits. Clowes says it's anything but 90210.
Most of these teen movies, I find sort of threatening and alienating. They're, you know, they sort of present this world where all the beautiful people sort of hook up and have these, you know, sort of minor problems, and then they're solved at the end, and everybody's going to like wild, crazy parties. And I've never known anybody who had a teenage experience like that. Most people are absolutely miserable and feel lonely and isolated and are just sort of coming into these feelings that, you know, they're sort of deciding that maybe they never will really connect with other people and maybe nobody ever will really understand them.
God, what a dork.
You're just jealous.
Trust me, at this point, I'm past the fact that every single guy likes you better than me.
Oh, face it. You just hate every single guy on the face of the earth.
That's not true. I just hate all these extroverted, obnoxious, pseudo-bohemian losers.
Ghost World, the film, is not a panel-by-panel reproduction of the comic, which Clowes deliberately tints in a cold blue.
We briefly toyed with the idea of you know, what if we did this in sort of a blue-toned movie? And it just seemed, in a movie, it somehow seems pretentious because, you know, it's not, you know, sort of intrinsic to film. It's in comics, you know, you're printing and you add one color and you know that it's sort of a cheaper way of printing. It doesn't strike as being some kind of mannered thing. We wanted it to look like the real world. We wanted it to look like this sort of heightened version of the real world where all the colors were sort of harsh and glaring and sort of, they seem on the surface to be kind of candy colored and friendly and underneath they're sort of threatening somehow.
That's just how director Terry Zwigoff sees the world.
You know, usually you go into a place like Starbucks or The Gap or McDonald's, and the colors, it's very cheerful and it's very color-coordinated and all. It's just, intellectually, it's very depressing, you know, if you think about it.
Funding the anti-corporate film took a long time. Besides its two teenage leads, the film features a grumpy middle-aged record collector named Seymour, based on Zwigoff himself.
You are like the luckiest guy in the world. I would kill to have stuff like this.
Please, go ahead and kill me.
Oh, come on. What are you talking about?
Well, you think it's healthy to obsessively collect things? You can't connect with other people, so you fill your life with stuff? Just like all the rest of these pathetic collector losers.
No, you're not. You're a cool guy, Seymour.
I'm so cool. How come I haven't had a girlfriend in like 4 years? I can't even remember the last time a girl talked to me.
I'm talking to you. You know, I bet there are tons of women who'd go out with you in a minute. I know I could get you a date in like 2 seconds.
Good luck.
The filmmakers wanted Steve Buscemi for the role, but that was a lost cause when they first pitched him to studio executives.
The closest we ever came at a lot of studios is they give you a list of 10 people, and they say you put Russell Crowe, Harrison Ford, Tom Hanks into this role, and we'll make the movie for this amount of money. If you don't, we're not going to make the movie.
With Buscemi and without major stars, Ghost World has won over the critics and a tougher audience, the comic book artists. Kim Deitch, who's been drawing comics for more than 30 years and writing Hollywood treatments for the last 20, says Zwigoff and Clowes have made the transition that underground comics artists have been attempting for years. He's just worried that Ghost World's author, Dan Clowes, might have done it too well.
I think it's wonderful, and I hope more movies come from it. But I hope to God he doesn't get out of comics, because, you know, this guy, I've been watching him making comic books for 15 or 16 years, and, you know, bit by bit he's gone from interesting to rather good to pretty good to really good to downright great to fantastic, you know, and he hasn't peaked yet, and it really would be a tragedy if he got co-opted out of doing comics into making movies. That would be sad.
Director Terry Zwigoff has had his own brush with co-option. The Gap called him to be in one of its ads.
Then I started thinking, geez, I just made this whole film about, you know, anti-corporate American culture. I'm going to be endorsing The Gap. And I basically told them I would do it if they would give a lot of money to this charity of my choice, but they said no. So I don't know. I didn't want to do it. I said, you know, you're going to put me in a Gap t-shirt and jeans, and you think you're going to sell clothes? You know, people are going to look at this graying, disheveled guy with, like, white, hairy arms and, like, go out and buy, like, a Gap outfit. I'm sure they'd see me and send me home right away. They don't know what I look like. They didn't even know how old I was. Do you know how old I am? I'm 53 years old. I don't wear blue jeans.
For NPR News, I'm David Darcy in New York.